Blog Talk Radio.
Mother's Day, May 12th. I'm your host, Oscar F. Lopez. I'd like to welcome everybody on board. I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day today and hope you called your mother, send her flowers, maybe had a brunch or afternoon, evening dinner at this point, figuring it out for today. And hopefully your mom was happy and all that. So we welcome you to Green Iron Beauties Radio today. We have a exciting show today on tap. We have Jeanette Gray from the Chicago Force, from the WFA League. And we also have the talented Kevin Shola, former LFL announcer and sports broadcaster for college and pro sports. We're going to interview them shortly here, about 4:10. We'll get with Kevin, and about 4:30 or so, we'll interact with Jeanette Gray. Chicago Force basically on a roll this year. They were basically the last team to face the Surge, who won the WFA championship. They're on a roll this year. They're on a mission. They're scoring over 50 points a game. They are basically eliminating their competition. They should be a shoe-in for the playoffs, and at this point, probably one of the favorites to reach the final. So we will talk to Jeanette Gray about, you know, what is going on in Chicago, what is happening in there in terms of their team, their schedule remaining, the possibility and the opportunity to reach the national championship once again. And hopefully they will this time punch it in and get the national title. But before that, we'll have Kevin Shola coming in at this point. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. If this is your first time, we welcome you with open arms. We have a basic format that we do here on Gridiron Beauties, and that's participating with the fans. You can interact with us at Gridiron Beauty on Twitter. You can also interact with us on Gridiron Beauties on Facebook. We have a call-in number if you'd like to call in as well. It's a 1-714-888-7418. It's 1-714-888-7418. So you can call that number if you'd like to interact with any of our guests in terms of with interviews. We also have on tap various other things you can do. You can use hashtag 2-minute drill to send us any information on your league or any type of players. Any information that needs to be shouted out for the week. At the end of the show, we do the 2-minute drill, and that gives us an opportunity to kind of breeze through in a brief manner, kind of give out what's going on this week and next week, any tidbits and news and insights that we can gather from our network of friends. And I'd like to thank everybody that networks with us, because without them, we would not be here today. So I appreciate everybody's support, specifically certain folks that I interact with on a weekly basis. At Backseat Coach being one of them, at WFA Scores as well, the IWFL, the WWCFL, and the WSFL as well, plus Guam Sports over in Guam that takes care of the Women's Tackle Football League there, and also Gridiron Victoria and the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, which we participate with as well. And this week alone, we reached out from some of the international, networkers, and that's in Europe. And going forward, as of this week and next week, we will be networking with at Football Nacional and at FBA_Spain, which covers pretty much the whole gridiron game in terms of the female scene in Spain, Italy, and going forward, obviously, it's going to be covering probably the English version of those leagues and the women's league as well. And also Touchdown Europe, at Touchdown Europe, which will be covering the World Women's Championships exclusively So you can go to touchdown-europe.com, and you can get exclusive interviews that are being done right now with some of the premier players in the Women's World Championship scene. I know Adrian Smith was on there, and we also had a couple of talented other players from Team Canada as well, Amy Kowalski, and there's a lot of interviews that are going to be done between now and the championship tournament. So take a look at Touchdown Europe on Twitter, or you can go to touchdown-europe.com. We also want to give a shout-out to FXF Mexico, which they are in their Week 5 sequence, and they're basically a strong league in Mexico. It's a traditional league as well, and they're blossoming into a nice venture and outlet for girls and women out in Mexico. So shout-out to FXF Mexico. If you want to participate in our show, like I said, you can call at 1-714-888-7418. And then do you have any questions for our guests? You can use Twitter. Use the hashtag GBRadio, hashtag GBRadio. And what we'll do is we'll tally those questions the Saturday prior to the Sunday show so we can give some feedback into what questions we can ask. We will select a handful of them, and then we'll ask to our guests and to answer those. We will. We also have basically the interaction on social media. So going forward, we want to make sure that players, coaches, anybody involved with the Women's Gridiron is networking with us so that we can expand our global aspect of it and also make an impact. You can find us on the social sites as well. So so I encourage everybody to share posts related to the sport, share the Facebook friends with your friends, and then on Twitter, retweet any events and news that helps with sponsorships, fundraisers, and team news. And that would help out. So as fans, you can do a lot. As players, you can do a lot. And obviously, with your business contacts, they can do a lot as well. So get the spread out for your branding. First, we support all women's gridiron leagues. Since we are in the States, we cover the most prominent and Canadian leagues. And that would include the IWFL, IWFLsports.com, WFA, the WFAfootball.net. You can find them there. WSFL at WSFLsportsnetwork.com. WWCFL at WCFL.com, the MWFL, which is the Maritime Women's Football League in Canada, MWFLFootball.ca, and they had a revamp on their website and looks wonderful. So congratulations to them. They're in their 10th anniversary season. LFLUS.com, all branches, WIFL, WIFLFootball.com, which will take off in 2014, and they're right now they're doing tryouts and having their teams announced as well. WAFL, WAFLFootball.com, that's the Women's Arena Football League, and they will kick off in about a couple weeks here as well. So going forward here, we will tally weekly any relevant events or news that are on Facebook, Twitter, or anything on the web, and we will make everybody aware on our two-minute drill in terms of those news tidbits. If you have news worthy of anything that needs to be taken out, you can use our hashtag two-minute drill. That's the number 2, MINDRILL, two-minute drill. And then we will go ahead and tally that weekly and kind of handpick some things that are obviously relevant. So let's huddle up and let's see what our first guest is here. And I believe it's Kevin. Let me see if Kevin's on the line here. Hold on for a second. Let's see here. Kevin, are you on the line?
Hi, Oscar. How are you?
How you doing? Kevin Shola. This is great to have you on the show. I appreciate you reaching out to us and wanting to participate with our show.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. And I know Skylar Vanell did such a nice job with you last week. And you guys are off to a good start. So my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today. I know you're involved with a lot of sports and a lot of things that are going on in terms of the non-traditional sense in terms of the women's game. I know you were involved at one point or another with the LFL, and now you're involved with the basketball league, which is the Lingerie Basketball League, also up in Southern California. So tell us a little bit about what you've done in the women's gridiron or participated in for women's gridiron.
Yeah, I've been involved in women's sports, traditional and non-traditional. I still call play-by-play for NCAA women's hoops, but in the non-traditional realm, for the LFL, I served as the radio host, PA announcer, and writer for 2 years, their first couple of seasons there, and now working with the LBL, the Lingerie Basketball League, which is kind of a probably a brainchild of, after seeing the success of some of the others, you know, going out there and trying other sports. You even had some athletes who have participated in both. So for them right now, I'm doing a radio show for them and writing and announcing and the whole thing. So I've been able to get a up close and personal view of this and, you know, have kind of a insight on it that folks who may have not been able to see it as much as I have may not have.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about how I know you were at you were in the LFL probably previous to the official league kickoff. Is that correct?
To the official, what's that?
I said you were in the you were involved with the LFL even prior to the official kickoff in 2009, right? At the full fledged league.
A little bit, but no, from the beginning of the actual league. So the first two full seasons of the league.
So we're talking 2004 to 2006, somewhere in there.
When the league expanded to having actual teams and an actual full schedule, so just 2-3 years ago.
Oh, okay, great. So what area were you based out of? You guys were based out of Vegas or Los Angeles at the time?
They moved from L.A. to Vegas at the very end of my tenure, but I would do the announcing for the Baltimore club, the Philadelphia club, covered the entire league from a radio standpoint and an interview standpoint, and having a lot of these athletes on the program and, you know, getting to know a lot of them on and off the field. It really gives you a perspective of what goes into this, because there's a lot of sacrifice made by these players to be able to do this.
And now, Kevin, I know you were involved, you know, pretty much in the internal aspect of it. Did you, by any chance, you know, obviously it's year four now. What have you seen since, you know, obviously you left in two years ago, but I'm pretty sure you've kept up with it, like on MTV2 and stuff. What do you see the transition from year one to year four in your eyes? I mean, what's the major changes that you've seen so far?
Well, they've expanded. I mean, you know, different cities have moved in and out. They've gone overseas a lot. There's been more exposure, like you mentioned, on the cable networks and things of that nature. But I think, you know, it's all individual. It depends on the players themselves. Some of them have been there since year one and are still going. Others have used it to their advantage for other aspects of life. Others have left it completely. So it's interesting to see how it's been a platform for many of these players for different ways that they've been able to use it, whether they have. And that's something that's really stood out to me too, Oscar, is the different backgrounds of all of the people involved here. You know, I'm sure there's stereotypes that folks who don't watch these sports or don't have any insight on it may think about these women, but they really run the gamut. I mean, you have all different types of people from all different walks of life here who just really, you know, want to play sports that aren't afforded to them on the professional level.
And I think it's hard to realize that, you know, if you're in a situation where, like you said, the opportunity is afforded to you, most people will say, well, you know, that's the non-traditional game, but in reality, it is an avenue to something better if you're just going to spend a season or two or however the case may be. And I know there's other players that obviously use it, like you said, just as a medium for that. So, Kevin, how exclusively were you involved in terms of production on that end of it, in terms of the production end?
Well, I would cover the games just as a strict announcer as far as on-site. And then as far as each week, the radio show I put together on my own, selected the guests, put together the questions, the format, things of that nature. As far as the games themselves, you know, they were taken care of by management and by the coaches and the players. So I was more involved from the coverage of it, the promotion of it, things of that nature, similarly to what I'm doing with the LBL now.
And I know in the LBL you had, I think, Sephora Chase. And Sephora has been involved in pretty much the non-traditional side of things for a long time, even from the, you know, the championship win that she had with the Temptation. Can you tell us a little bit about Sephora and her, you know, her things going on with, like, the LBL and the other ventures that she's got going on?
Yeah, I mean, she's the poster child. I mean, she is the one who has, like you said, has been involved in this from all different angles. She excelled on the gridiron. Then she went and did it on the basketball side, too. Was really the best player in both leagues. And just an intelligent woman, you know, somebody who knows her stuff, knows what she's in it for, really gets other people to rally around her. So, you know, she's a great example. I'm glad you mentioned her. And you know, she's trying to expand into other leagues now with some arena football I know she was looking at. And that's the other thing. You see all these other avenues, you know, some who are playing in full equipment, some who are in the lingerie angle, some who, you know, are doing basketball or other sports. So there's another basketball league that's starting up now, too. So it's interesting to see how these things progress. But, yeah, she's been, you know, just top-notch all the way through. And she's not the only one who's done both, you know, who's done the football and the basketball. Julie Ginther is another one who participated in both. She played for the Miami Caliente, and then she played in the Lingerie Basketball League. So, you know, and she also wrestles, you know, she does other things on the side as well. And, you know, a lot of names just pop up, you know, as you think about it. And as I said, they all have different backgrounds. But, you know, the way I like to talk to people about it is this, because I've seen this firsthand when people go to the games. I think it's the lingerie or the look of the women that may draw people in, but it's the sport that keeps them once they get there. And, you know, people have come to the arenas and they said, wow, they can play, almost surprised, because they thought it was a gimmick. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge for any lingerie sport moving forward, is to attract the people in. Once they get them in, they'll keep a lot of them, but it's getting them in, which is the tough part.
Yeah, I know, you know, given the projection of the avenues, I know that, you know, when we talk about the LFL's growth in general, they went from, you know, going from a full-scale arenas, which they still have some of them, but they've gotten into a traditional, you know, semi-hockey arenas, which is a lot better in terms of logistics to get 5,000, 6,000 people instead of trying to reach out an $18,000 fan base that you're not going to get to yet because your growth, you know, you're not there yet. So in your aspect of it, how has the LBL been able to acquire, you know, the attendance factor? I mean, are they doing well in terms of thousands, or are we looking at the low thousands?
Well, I think they started off right. They didn't have to go through that learning curve of, you know, saying, wait a minute, this place is too big. They played at smaller gyms instead of going in. You know, they're not playing, you know, on the Lakers court or on the Bulls court. They're going into smaller places, worrying more about the promotion of it itself, you know, getting the women out there into the community and spreading the word that way and online and through things of that nature. So I think that's a great point you make, though, because if you're in too big of a place for any of these, it's just, you know, it just aesthetically it comes across poorly, and it's also not good for the team. You know, you'd rather have less people who are loud and on top of the action as opposed to more people sprinkled out through a giant arena or a giant stadium. So I think that that's a really good point you make there, and, you know, that's something I think they need to, you know, take a look at. But, you know, a lot of these women, they're athletes. I mean, they're top-notch athletes who have backgrounds in college, who have backgrounds in other aspects of playing ball, whether it be football, basketball. Some have come from, you know, other sports. And I think that that's what some people don't realize right away. And there's some discrimination involved here, I think, from people who kind of, you know, roll their eyes at it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to, as it evolves, you have to kind of have to put a kind of a Band-Aid on it, because I know a lot of the things that I've encountered since supporting this side of the women's game is, you know, the sexism part of it and the non-traditional sense of a sport. But, you know, in reality, you have to understand it's all marketing. I mean, if you're in a business mode, it's sports. Sports are challenging depending on the market you're in. If you're in L.A., it's more challenging. If you're in New York, triple challenging. You know, so depending on what market you're in, you have to penetrate it, and really you have to get smart at doing something that obviously somebody else isn't doing for you to even get an eye or a dollar from some of the fans. So I think once everybody understands that, that the marketing side of it is really where they're doing a better job at it. And a lot of the girls and women that I talk to really have strong marketing backgrounds. They're either in, you know, from college, or they have things that they've done before with modeling, which they know they have to market. So there's a lot of, you know, positives to some of the girls that are in the sport when they understand marketing side of it. And I think that's the plus for any ownership that goes forward, because if they understand it, they understand ticketing, they understand promotioning, they understand that they have to do those things in order to acquire the interest.
I think a lot of people also just, you know, who may be involved in traditional women's sports, they get turned off by the lingerie. They get turned off by the look of the women. Hey, let's face it, that's what's getting people into the building. And also, I don't know why there has to be such a jealousy factor here. You know, we see this in other walks of life today, too, in entertainment and politics. It's almost like this nerd herd of revenge factor is going up against the football players and the cheerleaders here. You know, just because a woman is good-looking, why do you have to already belittle what she is doing or her athletic ability? I mean, you look at some of these players in these leagues, these are real players. Just because they look good in lingerie doesn't mean that they can't, you know, play. JoJo McCarthy, for example, in the LBL, she played college D1 college basketball in Chicago. She had Craig Hodges as one of her three-point instructors and her coach, the former Chicago Bull world champion. You know, she can hit shots left and right. May Escobar is another player. The Filipino Olympic team had her in with them. And these aren't people who don't know, you know, the game. J.J. Thacker, who's one of my favorite football players, she comes from a pedigree of Florida State. Her brother played for Florida State. I mean, you don't want this girl coming and hitting you. She'll knock you out. And yet, you know, you see her outside of there. She's a talented musician and a great singer. She sang the national anthem many times before the ball games. So, you know, some of them are moms. Mother's Day here today. I mean, bring that up. Jennifer Dennison in Green Bay. I mean, she's all about her family first, yet she goes out there and just happens to love football. So, you know, they do get it from all ends. It's very interesting how a lot of women attack them. But I think after you're in it for a while, you get that thick skin, and then you decide whether you want to keep going or not. And then if not, a lot of them, you know, use it for what it is. And, you know, you had Skylar on last week. She's been in the military. Tracy Wilmer, who was a player for Tampa Bay in the LFL, she's a writer. She's a professional. I mean, these are real women who, you know, want to be involved in sports, and because they look good, that should be a plus, not a negative.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the back and forth conversations that you're going to have. But you know, in reality, when we're talking women's sports, my point is always it's elevating women. The awareness of women's sports is being elevated, whether it be on the on a marketing side of it like that, or a traditional side. But either way, if it's going to be put out in the media and somebody's going to want to cover it, somebody's got interest in it, or somebody's taking that chance to go see it, then it's a good thing for women's sports. And I think that's the bottom line, is it has to be a thing where women's sports move forward and it elevates. And you talked about some of the other avenues of different sports that are happening. So it's great that, you know, at least they're getting the opportunity to participate at a high level, and then sometimes even on a high marketing level, because that's the key right there. If they can get marketed, then it's a plus for everybody.
And I really think the key is, yes, getting the people in the building. Once you're in there, you can keep them, but the tough part is getting them in. Yeah, you're going to get these men who want to just stare at the women in the building, and hey, from a marketing standpoint, you need them. That's probably a bulk of the fan base. That said, though, I remember at LFL games, friends coming with their wives, with their girlfriends, female friends coming who absolutely loved it, just from a standpoint of, hey, that was a lot of fun. So I think once they go to a football game and see, like, oh, they really hit, they really play hard, or go to a basketball game and say, wow, they really can shoot, that can keep people there. But marketing it to, you know, the people, the demographic that perhaps is not the group you think you're going after, in other words, getting some more women or some, you know, younger people involved, that's a challenge that luckily you and I can just discuss and, you know, put our hypotheses out there and not have to worry about, you know, paying the piper for it one way or another.
Yeah. So, Kevin, what are you doing now since, you know, I know you're, you know, a multi-talented broadcaster. So is that what you're doing now, pretty much a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I'm not sleeping, Oscar. You got me on the craziest day. I'm in the middle of 18 shifts in 16 days, plus I'm coaching my daughter's T-ball team. I had five of those, so tomorrow I'm finally going to breathe a little bit. But my quote-unquote real job, I anchor news and sports for CBS, and I'm also announcing right now for the Trenton Thunder, the Yankees AA affiliate. I have a football job and football season at Kane University. I do Holy Family University basketball, and I'm also writing a column for Breitbart Sports. And I have two web shows, the LBL show, and I also have a political show. So not sleeping, but otherwise everything's great.
Yeah, well, you're in the same boat I am. Most people think I don't go to sleep, especially on Twitter. They all think I'm 24/7 alive or something, but I do get my sleep in. So you got to do what you got to do, right? That's what I tell everybody, you know. In a world of you can't be standing still because you get hit. So you got to be moving.
That's it.
So you got it.
Hey, look, that works for football too, right?
that's what it works. I mean, it does. Unfortunately, that's the reality. Kevin. Thank you for your time. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I appreciate you coming on, and you're welcome to come on anytime in terms of anything that you'd like to discuss with us in terms of women's sports or anything in general in that sense. And I appreciate you reaching out to us with our branding, and I look forward to having another conversation with you, and I have safe travels for you as well, and I hope you have a great evening.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having Skylar Vanell on last week. And if anybody wants to learn more, you could follow me on Twitter at Kevin Scholla. That's Kevin, S-C-H-O-L-L-A. And you could also search for me on Facebook, Kevin Scholla, and any of my millions of websites. But definitely say hello. And good luck to all the women who are out there playing these games. You know, there's a lot of people that are supporting them. It's tough, but they're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And safe travels out there and continued success.
Thanks, Oscar.
Bye-bye. All right, so that was Kevin Scholla, and he's a multi-talented broadcaster. And like you said before, he's covered pretty much about everything, college, pro sports, and he's obviously was involved with the LFL for a short period of time there for about 2 years. So he knows the ins and outs and the struggles that these women and these athletes have to go over. So it's great to get feedback from that and from somebody that obviously had insights on the inside and is involved right now currently with something that's being ventured out and trying to make something out of it. So we're going to go forward here and see if we have Jeanette Gray on the line. I believe we do have her. Let me see if she's on. Let's see here. Jeanette, are you on?
I am. How are
Hi.
You?
Happy Mother's Day, and I hope you are enjoying your Sundays, and I appreciate you coming on a day like this.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the invitation.
All right, great. I want to just tell you that I've been blown away by your organization, and I've been covering women's sports for a long time, but not women's gridiron, and
mm-hmm.
I started covering gridiron about a year and a half ago when I got involved with WFB Talk, and so...
Okay.
At this point, I want to know, you know, what are you guys doing? You guys are like the 99 Rams. I mean, you guys are like tearing people apart. It's crazy. When I see my Twitter feed, 66-6, 66-0.
Sure.
And I'm following Chicago Force on Twitter because you guys do a great job on your Twitter, you know, up play-by-plays. And it
mm-hmm.
just seems like as soon as you, refresh the Twitter feed, there's a score. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So it's exciting in that sense because you're not live, but when you're kind of like getting updates and stuff, you're sitting there going, oh, my God, they just ran the ball like, you know, what, 25 yards, and then all of a sudden they threw a big launch score, and then they're in. And
sure.
I feel bad for the other team technically.
Well, you know, it's an exciting offense to play in, and, you know, we really committed 3 years ago to going to a no-huddle spread offense, fast-paced. We try to get up to the line of scrimmage as soon as that play whistle goes and run plays as quickly as we can, much in the way, you know, people that follow Oregon football does. And we really commit to being in really, really good shape and being able to play that way. And our defense, we got a new defensive coordinator last year that has really made a big difference, you know, on the other end of that score, keeping teams to no score or one score usually from week in, week out. And, you know, it's just the organization is just so well run. We know what we're committed to doing. We have an identity, and we work at it every week.
Yeah, and that's a credit, I think, to everybody on this team because, like you said, a no-huddle offense is really not an option for a lot of people because it takes a lot of wear and tear, and it really takes a lot of demand on terms of, you know, I'm talking about skill set, knowledge, retention on plays, and like you said, you know, recovery time, because you're basically sprinting. I mean, you're like from one play to the next, you're sprinting technically.
Yeah, it's we're lucky this year. We have our offense. We have players that have a pretty veteran team that have played for a few years, and we understand the offense. You know, while we do put new wrinkles in every week, and we really, I mean, we commit to conditioning every practice at the end, and we get our butts kicked, but it pays off. We practice this way too, full contact for 2 hours, and just run one play after another, and that gets you in shape too. But our defense, you know, when we score fast, our defense ends up being on the field a ton, and they don't get much rest when we score quickly. So, you know, it's a total team effort. We know what we're about, and I can tell you as a receiver, it's a heck of a fun offense to play in. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I can tell based on, you know, I haven't seen anything live, and I haven't been able to do that, but mm-hmm. I can tell from some of the, you know, the tweets that we get and all the feedback that we get that, you know, this is pretty explosive. And
and
given the fact that you guys lost last year, I'm a fan, if I was just reading your history, I would say you're mm-hmm. pissed off, you know, to get back to get the title. You know what I mean? That's the way I would look at it. I mean, you're mad. This is not this is like, let's get through 12 games or 6 games and then let's plug ourselves in for the next 2 playoff games and let's get back to the real thing we're here for, the prize. And I think that's where it's at. I mean, I mean
we're pretty driven from that loss to San Diego. And, I mean, we got beat by a very, very good team. San Diego's a great organization and a great team. And I think between the first 3 minutes and the last 3 minutes of that championship game, they scored 28 points. And, you know, that hurt a lot to walk away losing by 4. And there's a lot of women on our team that played in the IWFL championship game, and I believe it was 08 or 09, and lost by a point to Dallas. And so we've been so close, you know, 2 championship games and lost by a total of 5 points. The people are a little mad, and we definitely – our goal is to win a championship, and really nothing less than that. And we've got a lot of players who have really improved themselves in the off season, really care about our team, really care about each other, and would love to win it all this year.
Yeah, and I know you have Brandy Hatcher. She's been having a great mm-hmm. season. And then Ashley, mm-hmm. I think Bergen is having a great season.
Bergen.
And you got nine players that are going to go to the Finland at this point, you know. And so, I mean, you're I don't know what you consider it, but I consider yourselves pretty stacked. That's the word. You guys are, you know, I mean, world championship caliber players, 9 of them. And on top of that, whatever influx of players you had this year, and then you put together the returning folks that obviously went through, like you said, the hardship in 2008, and then obviously last year's, you know, championship. Yeah, I would say you guys are really focused and really, really have dedicated to the fact that you guys really want to win.
Yeah, and to have 9 players representing our country this June or this July over in Finland is a great credit to our organization as a whole. You know, I mean, we have some really talented players, but we all started pretty much with a football knowledge of 0, and our coaching staff has just been amazing in coaching us the right way, teaching us the right things to do. And while there is athleticism involved and talent involved, there's so much technique involved in being a good football player. And I think that's a lot of what separates us from other people is, you know, the way we're coached. John Konecki, you know, he's our leader, he's our head coach. He does a great job of teaching us the right things to do and teaching us that right technique.
And I think that's a plus for anything. I mean, when you're starting out and you don't know what you're doing, but when you get into a situation where you get a good organization with a good chip on their shoulders, and then, like you said, you get some good coaching staff, and you get some intelligent individuals in terms of athletes that are committed, then obviously the results speak for themselves. But, I mean, steamrolling is the word that I'm using right now with you guys. You guys are just like steamrolling. I mean, it's like I don't even know if you want to put the sign up at the door and say, please don't even come. Because that's, you know, just check in with your name and then walk right out, and we'll just go and pencil in the score. Because that's what you guys are doing right now.
Well, you know, we've had our last 2 games. You know, our first game we thought we played really well against the Detroit Dark Angels. We thought our effort was good and we executed pretty well. But our next 3 against Indy and St. Louis and West Michigan, while the end score was, there was a pretty big difference there. We felt we didn't play as well as we could have. And the expectations that we have week in and week out for ourselves you know, it isn't always reflected in the score. I think we kind of have a really high bar. And, you know, we know what that goal is down the road. And, you know, we want to play almost as perfect as we can every week. And, you know, we just feel every game there's something we can get better at. And we watch film every week and we go back and look at things we can improve on and hopefully get all those things fixed by the time the playoffs roll around.
Yeah, and I know it's a key, you know, that, and the score is only indicative to, you know, the final result. But, you know, obviously everything goes by quarter, so every quarter is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's not as easy as it sounds or as it looks or as the end result would be on it. But, you know, you guys in the Mayhem played a pretty good, solid game. I know the game on May 11th was a pretty rough game to play because even mm-hmm. though the score was like 67 or 13, by the quarters, mm-hmm. if you looked at it in terms of the play-by-play that I was getting, you know,
yeah.
they had pretty good defense, you know, and
yeah.
they were getting their pressures. So you guys get to face mm-hmm. them, I think, at the end, right, June 8th again?
Yep.
So they're probably going to be more inclined.
Yeah, they're always
for a couple scores.
Yeah, I mean, they're always a tough matchup for us. They bring their best. They have some really good players. And, you know, every team, you know, we know they're going to come out and play their very best game against us. And, you know, we have that bullseye on our back, and that's fine. And that's what I think kind of drives us to try and play so well week in and week out. We know everyone's going to bring their best. And Western Michigan played really, really well against us. They hit us, you know, hit us hard, and they executed their game plan. You know, they're coached really well, and they tried to expose some weaknesses throughout the game and scored a couple times on us.
Yeah, and you know, 306-20, that's not a bad number, you know, I mean, in terms of scoring. That's really what
yeah.
I boil it down to. 306-20,
yeah.
that's like I said, put the sign on the door and say, don't even show up. Just let me pencil in the score for you. But anyways,
well,
Kansas City's coming up for you guys on June 1st. Can you tell us a little bit about them? Because they're on a roll, and I know they had like a lapse game last week where they didn't play,
mm-hmm.
but they're 4-0,
right.
and they are looking, since they combined the two teams, they are
mm-hmm.
looking like a brand new team, and they're looking to win. And
yeah.
I think it's a great matchup. You guys are coming in within the next week, and it's undefeated versus undefeated, and we'll see whose matchup is. I'm looking forward to that matchup, basically.
Yeah, I mean, there's a really, really proud organization that, you know, before those two teams combined, the Kansas City Tribe won an IWFL championship, and they've had a lot of success, and now as the Titans, I think they're playing really well. They've got a lot of good players. Their quarterback, Jenny Schmidt, is one of the best in the league, and they have a few players that are going to be in Finland with us as well, and, you know, that's Kansas City is always it's a big rivalry game for us and for them every year. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. I'm sure they're looking forward to it. And it'll be a battle. It definitely will.
Yeah, you got I think Katie Sowers, Liz Sowers out there as well besides Schmidt.
Yep.
So, you know, they're world-class players as well. So there's nothing to take away from them because obviously they're a good start. And they've done well since the merger of those two teams. And they've gotten
mm-hmm.
to a point where I think they just need to be challenged a lot more. And I think you guys are going to be pretty much the right time at the right place for them because they're looking, obviously, to measure themselves at somehow to see if that's a true 4-0. Because if they can beat a caliber team like yourselves, if that's the case, then, you know, the measuring stick is high. So that means their quality.
Sure.
And getting ready for the playoffs, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's only a couple games till the playoffs at this point. You're looking at about another, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, it'll be here real soon. It'll be here real soon. And, you know, everybody's looking forward to it. That's in the race for one of those playoff spots. And, you know, every year I think as Kansas City, we kind of measure ourselves against each other. And both really good organizations that have been successful. And, you know, at the end of the regular season, if one of us has a loss, it's usually our losses to them or their losses to us. And it's, you know, but all of that's thrown out when a rivalry game comes along. You never know what's going to happen.
So are you guys, if I can equate this right, so you guys are basically like the Divas and the Pittsburghs, right? You guys are really right there towards the playoff mentality, right?
What's that again? Sorry.
No, I said you guys are in the same boat that the Eastern teams are, you know, the Divas, the Militia, and the Passion.
Mm-hmm.
they're pretty much in the little triangle where they know they're going to get to the playoffs at this point. And when they get to the playoffs, like we talked to Callie Bronson from DC Divas, she was saying the same thing you're doing, is that, you know, you're not going to measure yourself until you get to that first playoff, slotting. And then at that point, you pretty much realize, oh, crap, you know, are we ready or we're not? Because you can steamroll your division with some lower quality teams, get the big number of, you know, hey, I'm undefeated, but you really won't know how undefeated or how well you are until you match up the first week in the playoffs, because that's kind of gauge you, right?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, every week, you know, while the score, you know, it may look to be a blowout, I mean, we've really looked at ourselves pretty hard, and, you know, it may seem like a little thing here or there, but we know against some of these teams we're going to see in the playoffs, it's going to be a big deal. And, you know, so, you know, you hit those teams like Boston and D.C. on our side of the bracket, and, you know, our Boston game in the championship game for the conference the last 2 years has been such a battle. It was a one-point game last year, and they're a great team. They're a real, real great team, so competitive, fast, very skilled, well-coached, and those are fun games to play in. And, you know, I think, you know, your best memories are made in the playoffs, you know, anyways, and, you know, we're looking forward to it. We really are.
So now the 99 Rams, because I'm a Rams fan, so is that a good analogy for you, Chicago Force in 2013?
The greatest show on turf.
Can I say that now? The Chicago Force, the greatest show on turf?
I mean, we still have a lot of work to do. But, I mean, we're lucky. I mean, our quarterback, Sammy Grisafi, is amazing. She just knows the game so well, and she can throw it, as far as you can run. She is a quarterback. She makes reads. You know, sometimes some plays we have three or four reads she has to make, and she can make them in a split second. She throws the ball so well, and she is, you know, she drives a little bit, but our offensive line, man, they are a unit that's been together for years and can't throw the ball unless they're blocking. And they do just a tremendous job. And I think there's maybe three or four of them that are playing for Team USA as well. So there's a lot of talent there. And it's a huge team concept. You know, you got to give a lot of credit, though, to Sammy and our offensive line.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about Elizabeth Oakey and Dawn Peterson as well in that line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're scheduled, you know, to – I mean, they don't give up, as far as I know, from, you know, talking to Emery Hunt from Football Game Plan, they don't give up very much space, and they do a well job of protection, which is a key, especially, like you said, in a no-huddle offense, because you got to get back in there and do that. So, Jeanette, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do in a morning state? I know you coach, from what I saw your bio. You're a math teacher, as far as I was told, you're coaching a varsity basketball as well. So can you tell us a little bit about how you transit, how you bring your, you know, your drive from the women's side of the gridiron to your students and your players in terms of the high school aspect?
Yeah, I mean, I teach math at Valparaiso High School in Northwest Indiana, about an hour out of Chicago, and they get a little bit of a kick out of me playing football. When I first started playing, they were a little confused, like, what is this? What are you doing exactly? And I come in Monday a little sore, but they asked me how it was. And, you know, for little girls growing up, I think it's a great example of, you know, you can do what you want. And we kind of feel at the state of where women's football is, women's tackle football is, we're kind of pioneers of this sport and trying to get it to grow and trying to get young girls involved and loving the game and wanting to play the game. And, you know, you hope as a teacher, you influence at least, you know, just one person along the way to find something they love to do and doing it the rest of their life or involved in it in some aspect the rest of their life. So, you know, I hope I can do that for somebody along the road. But definitely getting up and teaching at 7:30 in the morning is hard after getting home from practice at 11 at night sometimes. But I love both things, so it's fun.
Now, I know I talked to, like, a vet tanner out in Vegas and stuff. And do you, by any chance, yourself, you know, the force itself, are you guys working into that aspect of high school? Because I know out there in Vegas, they're trying to put together a program where they're able to build a, you know, kind of a high school mentality prior to college mentality. So is there anything that you guys are doing, you know, with the force at this point in terms of community-based to kind of get, you know, like the biggest news that we've seen so far is obviously, you know, you probably read the Carolyn Paul thing in Philadelphia where the Catholic school was obviously not up to date in terms of giving opportunity to the girls. So in that aspect of it, how do you see that maybe evolving in the next couple of years, given some of the things that have come to light?
Right. I mean, we just, you know, we need exposure. We need more exposure. We need more people to know that our league actually exists and women actually do this. And, you know, I, at least once or twice a week, I talk to somebody that doesn't even know we really exist. And, you know, if you don't know the opportunities there, you know, well, why are you going to try to reach for it? So exposure is going to be huge for us. We've done some things with some girls that play Pop Warner locally here in Chicago, and they've come to our practice and are on the sidelines at games. And we've run some clinics, some like football-type clinics for girls up in the city at a couple of different schools, and just to get our name out there and get people to know we're here. We're an organization that's part of a league with, you know, over 50 teams across the country, and really one of a few leagues where women play football, and just letting people know that this opportunity is out there.
Now, Jeanette, I'm going to pick your brain, which I've picked up everybody that I've had on the show. I'm going to pick your brain on whether, you know, you like something or not. So I'm going to throw something out there and just kind of tell me whether, you know, your thoughts on it. But, you know, what I think the women's game, in my opinion, needs is sort of a tier system, sort of like a Division I, Division II, Division III type of caliber. Because when I saw the game between you and the Surge, you know, in Heinz Field, I thought I was watching NFL caliber football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I was watching. Yep. But when you see the week in, week out, and you see the average fan that maybe goes to see a blowout, you know, for example, your games have been 66-0, and maybe it's not the case because obviously you got to play the four quarters, but the end result is obviously a blowout. It's not as competitive as it should be. So my question to you is, do you feel that maybe the women's game is ready for a tier system where you put certain caliber teams maybe in a smaller scale? You know, out of 52, you divide that in, let's say, in a pie of three, and now you've got 12 on one division, maybe another, you know, 15 or 18 on a second division, then maybe the third tier is a little bit more, but they're building towards going to the next level. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a very good idea. And I think the IWFL had a couple tiers. I don't know if they still do. But, you know, I also think, you know, there's just way too many teams throughout the country. I mean, you've got, and I think that kind of waters down the talent from one team to another. And if we could get some teams that are pretty close together, kind of like what Kansas City did, and combine those two into, you know, into one team, I think you're going to find our league take off a little bit. And you'll see some games being more competitive. And you know, if we can do that and combine it with, you know, possibly a tier system, you know, like you suggested, I think the games would be much more competitive. And, you know, nobody wants to sit there and watch a blowout. Nobody does. And you want to see something competitive that often comes down to the last, you know, the last possession. Those are fun games to watch, and realistically, those are fun games to be a part of too. So, you know, I think combination of those things, and I think would be really good for women's football.
And I know logistics is an issue because, you know, when we talk about anything in sports or even in life, logistics is an issue. And we were talking. I talked to Adrian Smith before. I'm talking to Callie Bronson. I'm talking to everybody pretty much that is either on Team USA or any of that in that aspect. So logistics is a big deal. So do you feel that maybe the women's leagues are not logistically sound? Because obviously the one thing I attribute to, let's say the LFL as an example, is the fact that they've done something that they've taken away an intangible, in other words, where the player doesn't have to do anything but marketing and maybe show up to the game. Yeah, they don't get paid, but they do marketing and they show up to the game. So if you want to get serious about putting you know, the Chicago Force, the Titans, the Militia, the DC Divas, mm-hmm. the Passion, all those teams together, let's say in a 12 league setup, mm-hmm. then obviously mm-hmm. One of those leagues, whether it be the WFA, the IWFL, or whatever the leagues are, they're going to mm-hmm. have to get serious about logistics, you know, because it's going to boil down just to that. You know, the travel mm-hmm. itself is mm-hmm. what needs to be addressed yeah. first. Not necessarily the venue, because the venue can still be the same. You can still play at your high school that you play now, but you can still play at whatever facility to start with, because that's okay, because that's, you already have that. Now mm-hmm. you just have to figure mm-hmm. out logistics, which is money and sponsorship, and maybe getting somebody an airline or somebody that can sponsor you the travel fees or something like that.
Yeah.
So do you feel that that's going to happen at some point? And you've been in the league 4 years. Do you feel that that's something that maybe will be addressed soon?
I hope so. I think with being on ESPN and that championship game, that ESPN3, you know, was a big thing, and a step in the right direction. You know, we need to get some games on TV that people can watch. We need someone to step in and take a chance and sponsor us, a couple big sponsors. And I think if you get these teams that are at the top of the leagues, whether, you know, the WFA and the IWFL, and you watch them play, you know, let's hope we get those type of caliber games like we had in the championship game, you know, week in and week out. I think that would be great for women's football. You know, the travel, you know, week to week we're traveling from Chicago and Indianapolis and Detroit, and that's a lot different compared to going to, like, Boston or D.C. And that would be expensive, and money's at a premium, you know, right now. And we got to get fans in the seats. We got to get people watching. And we got to get some kind of marketing campaign and, you know, get that. Hopefully it'll catch on. But I think it's not going to happen today or maybe next year. But I think within the next, you know, 5 years, I think we'll see something start to develop here.
Now, I know IFAF has done a great job of, you know, doing the juniors and seniors, the men's side of it. Now they're obviously involved with the women's side in terms of a global mm-hmm. scale. Do you feel mm-hmm. that that's going to help? Like this year, the 2010 tournament, now the 2013 tournament, literally a little mm-hmm. bit more exposure from them. Do you think going forward that will benefit?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it kind of starts to legitimize what we're doing, that, hey, you know, you can do this and represent your country. I think that's a really big deal. And, I mean, as an athlete growing up, that's, you know, for me, maybe the highest accomplishment, you know, you can have as an athlete is to put the USA on. And I think that exposure, if we can get people to notice that, will make a big difference as well. Absolutely.
Awesome. Now, do you plan to play another year? I mean, what's your time frame in terms of maybe not playing any longer? I know that's always a hard question for an athlete to kind of burn out right away. But do you feel like at this point, given what's going on with you and your career and everything, do you feel like maybe it's going to be another year or 2 years or maybe a minimum of 5 at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, from 1 year to another, it's just, you know, for us, it depends on what happens, you know, in our life away from football, you know, since we don't get paid and, you know, we all work for a living and do something else. So that just, you know, it depends on that. And, you know, as the body gets older, it doesn't recover quite as quickly. And, you know, we'll see. I usually make the decision, you know, November, December, going into, you know, January workouts. So we'll see.
So now, how do you, Jeanette, how do you stay well fit at this point? Do you have a raw diet? I know a lot of athletes have different concepts of fitness intake. So what's your basic fitness intake in terms of what you do in terms with, you know, fitness and nutrition?
Mm-hmm. You know, I work out at a sports performance studio in the town where I work, and they really, really got me in great shape, and I love the conditioning aspect, and the guy that is our kind of our strength and conditioning coach for the Force, I've worked out with him, and you know, and he really was an influence in changing my diet. And, you know, I've, especially working with, you know, coaching high school kids and seeing what they eat and the things they put into their body, you really see what's good and what's bad. And over the last year, I've really made a commitment to, you know, eating less processed food, and we really preach that, try to preach that to our kids, our athletes, at the high school level, and I've noticed a significant change in my body. I dropped about 15 pounds, and I can feel the difference on the field. It's been great.
All right, so now I know you, your favorite athlete is Michael Jordan, from what I read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about why Michael Jordan? I know everybody
sure.
knows Michael Jordan, but why Michael Jordan?
Well, I grew up in Chicago during the time when the Bulls were winning their 6 championships, and, you know, basketball was my thing, and he was at the time, you know, the best basketball player in the world, and just the way he competed every single day, and didn't matter who they were playing or at what point in the season it was, he just went out there and played his best. And, you know, to get cut, you know the famous story about Michael, you know, he gets cut his sophomore year and comes back and, you know, ends up doing what he does, I think is just, you know, a testament to the no quit principle and, you know, go after what you want with as much drive as you can. And he did that. And, you know, just watching him play, his artistry and his athleticism was, I was just in awe of it growing up as a kid.
So now, Jeanette, you have a 2010 Offensive Player of the Year Award. You have a 2011 Offensive Player of the Year Award.
Mm-hmm.
So are we looking
mm-hmm.
at a 2013 Offensive Player of the Year Award?
I don't know. We'll see. You know, I definitely would trade that for a national championship, that's for sure. But, you know, we'll see. If our offense keeps clicking, you never know what can happen.
All right. Now, I am a fan of your free time because I love sleep as well. And most people think I don't sleep because obviously I'm on Twitter like 24/7. So what do you normally do for sleep mode? I mean, is it nap mode, like power naps, or because of your busy
sure.
schedule, like you said? Is that where you get them in, on a power nap?
You know, I'm lucky in that I need about 4 to 5 hours of sleep to function, so I don't need a lot of sleep, and I'm not a napper. If I can get 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I'm good, which is usually between about, you know, midnight, and I get up at 4:30 a.m. every morning to get a workout in. So, you know, I think I've trained my body to do that. So that's all I need.
All right. Now, I want to just pick your brain in terms of some players. So give me some players
sure.
on your team that our fans on our, you know, network and Twitter feed should be looking out for in the next couple of weeks in terms of the force. I know we talked about, Ashley Berngren,
mm-hmm.
and then we talked about Brandi Hatcher. But what are the other notable players that obviously – they're not getting press or they're not being noticed in terms of their play. What other players can you do? I know you mentioned offensive line, but let's throw out
sure.
a couple more names.
Offensive line, you know, you mentioned Liz Oakey and Don Peterson. Huge, you know, we've moved Don around a little bit to play, you know, from she wears a number in the 80s, so we moved her around in the slot a little bit. And she was an athlete at Ohio State. And she's a great leader for us. And, you know, our two running back system, we've got Mary Tools and Brandi Hatcher who go in and out together and work really well. And Mary's a second-year player that when she decides to just run and not think, she is like a wrecking ball and can just about run over anybody. So she's still learning the position in her second year and, you know, getting better with every game. She worked really hard in the off season to get her body ready to be a running back, which you get hit every single play. So she's been exciting to watch these last few games. She, you know, yesterday she had a pretty good game running the ball as well. You know, we talk about Sammy. Sammy's consistent week in and week out. Darcy Leslie, who's our one of our linebackers and has also been asked to play some running back this year, is on the field a lot. And she is a big reason our defense does what it does. She's a great player, also really committed herself this offseason to getting into really good shape. She's scored a bunch of touchdowns for us too, an exciting player to watch.
So now at this point, you've got two more games going into the playoff
mm-hmm.
mindset. So before I let you go, are we running the table to the championship?
Well, we hope so. That's the way we want to do it. You know, but while we do have a big picture, well, Coach says, you know, it's his job to look at the big picture and see what we need to do to get where we need to go. He has us on a week-to-week basis. We really do focus on the next team on our list and try to get better for that game. So right now we're looking forward to the Indianapolis game this next Saturday, and then we get a week off to heal our bodies a little bit, and then Kansas City will be coming to town and bringing their very best at us. You never know what's going to happen week in and week out, and we have to be focused because, you know, like I said earlier, teams are going to be bringing their best at us.
Well, I thank you for coming on Mother's Day of all days, and I appreciate you taking the time. It's been a very entertaining interview. I hope to have you on maybe within the next couple months as well, or, you know, before the national championship, depending on what, you know, where you guys are slotted in terms of the playoff picture. You guys faced a tough schedule last year. So who do you feel right now, before you go, who do you feel you'll face this year? Is it Boston again, maybe Dallas? Who do you think will be probably somebody that you'll see again?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we've seen Boston twice. We saw Dallas 3 years ago, you know, and those are two teams that are playing really, really well right now. We'll probably make the playoffs, and we'll probably see down the road. And, you know, and like I said earlier, that Boston game the last 2 years has, you know, they beat us once and we beat them the next year. And so, you know, we may have the rubber match this year. We'll see. But a lot of work to be done for both teams before that happens.
Okay, great. So, Jeanette, I appreciate you taking the afternoon to be with us. I hope that you will listen to our show and then elevate the game as we're trying to do as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll be looking forward to you know, the play-by-play tweets of your scoring, and you've had plenty of opportunity in terms of scoring. So is there a favorite touchdown this season between the games that you've played so far on one of the schedules?
You know, not really. There's not a favorite. I just kind of, I mean, I think everyone likes all their touchdowns, but, I mean, the best are when someone else makes a big block for you. To get you in that end zone, and I think those are the ones you remember the most. And Taylor Molloy, who's a receiver for us, last weekend laid a huge block on a cornerback that got me into the end zone, and that was fun. It was fun to see her be aggressive and make that play. You know, and touchdowns where the whole team's involved are often the best.
Well, Jeanette, thank you for your time. I appreciate it for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I wish you safe travels. Continued success.
Thank you.
And I know that the Force, like I said, they're making me happy because they remind me of the 99 Rams. So I hope that the end result will be the national championship for you, and I wish you well in your endeavors. And
we'll be
talking to you soon, and I will keep tabs on you on Twitter as well. So have a great afternoon. Thank you for coming on board, and I appreciate your time.
All right, great. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, so that was Jeanette Gray from the Chicago Force, and they're on a tear this season. And like she was talking about, she was being humble and all. But in reality, that's what it boils down to, is there's an opportunity to run the table for them. They face the Titans next week, which is a big challenge for them. They go back and face the Mayhem one more time, which the Mayhem did put up about 2 scores on them. So at this point, it's pretty certain that they will make the playoffs. So once they make the playoffs, like she talked about before, Boston might be a thorn in their side. They faced them before based on the seedings and everything that's going to happen within the next 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks. Then we will see whether the Force is going to be enforced to go towards the national championship. But great quarterback play. She talked about the offensive line. They got top quality, world-class athletes on that team. You know, there's 9 players representing Team USA alone for the 2013 tournament in Finland. So this organization has a lot going for them, and their team is really driven this season. Based on their loss from last season, they have come to this season drive to get to the playoffs, and then their goal being set the national championship. So hopefully that will be the case, and the end result is a deserving national championship based on their play currently that they've been done since 2013. So we'll go into the two-minute drill. Two-minute drill is sponsored by No Joke Football Apparel Brand. You can find it at www.zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. No Joke Football Apparel is your apparel. It is your attitude. It is what you should wear on the field. So let's go into the two-minute drill. WSAFootball.net notes, and we had basically big matches, 5-0 Boston, 42-28 against Pittsburgh Passion. It was a very good game. Boston obviously on a roll this year, 5-0, and that's going to be a key right there. Like Jeanette said, they're probably going to be meeting them soon at this point. The surprise game or football game plan, that was the game of the week, was Cleveland 47, the Sizzle 6. Cleveland Fusion, another surprise team this season in the WFA, 5-0. And then you took the Sacramento Sirens facing the Majestics. And on the West Coast, probably no better team right now on the West Coast than the Majestics at 5-0. And they faced the Sacramento Sirens, which fall to 3-2 in Week 7 action. You also have the Surge, 63-0 over the West Coast Lightning, the defending champs at 4-1. And they're probably going to be in the mix. They got two more weeks to go. They'll probably end up at 6-1, but they will be in the playoffs to defend their championship. I can tell you that right now. So shout out to Lisa Horton and Rachel Wadowski, if I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, I apologize. And she had a huge game for Pittsburgh. 7-0 strikes, basically against the militia. And she is three TDs. I think it was four TDs all the way around. So she scored like a mad woman. Two single-game passion records broken, 197 yards receiving, four touchdowns. So hats off to her and her amazing game against the tough Boston militia. Even though they lost, credit to her for playing an amazing game there. Zeeley as well, TDs in the fourth quarter for Boston. But the bottom line is they lose to 42-28 to the militia. Dallas is on a streak roll in the WFA, 6-0. Going through their division, they obviously are ready getting to for the playoffs. 5-0 Chicago, we just talked to Jeanette Gray about that, pretty much unstoppable. 61-0, and they beat the Dark Angels again. 4-0 Kansas City coming off a break, unfortunately due to some weather and everything. They come back into action, and they just go to stay the course, 68-0 against the Nebraska Stampede. And so they're clashing with the Force coming up next week. And we will see that's a huge game. And we will try to make that the game of the week for our Twitter fans at this point, too. Week 3 action in the AAFE Mexico League as well is on our Facebook page. So you can look that up. The FXF Mexico as well, Week 5 action. That will be updated on our Facebook page as well. And that's full kit also. The Guam, courtesy of guam_sports.com. And then Don Mock as well. The Sindaloo defeats the Steel Blazers. Great game by Deanna Garcia, and that's the Guam Women's Tackle Football League notes as well on that. Shout out to our European network. Congrats to them, and congrats to the LNFA Feminine League, which is in Spain, and that's the female league of American football. And that was the Barbary Rookies who won their third straight title in that league. So congratulations to them. And we want to give a shout out to @FootballNacional, @TouchdownEurope, and at FEFA_Spain for their amazing information, feedback that they've given us to supply information to the rest of the fans. So let's go into the Week 2 slate in the WWCFL. Edmonton Storm, and they win 43-0. They won against the Okolong Outlaws, and there was a forfeit, 43-0 at the half, and then there was forfeit due to injuries. So we hope the Outlaws recover from some of their injuries at this point and get ready for the next game. The Calgary Rage won 33-0 against the North Anarchy as well. There was a game played on the slate today, and I did not get the score, but you can get the score updated on it was a Riot taking on, I believe, the Nomads, and we will get the score updated on our Twitter feed as well. So we give a shout-out to Women's Tackle Football Canada on Twitter @WTF Canada. You can also go to their site, an amazing informational site, womensfootballcanada.wordpress.com. So they got a great thing going out there as well. So Sunday was Manitoba Fearless. That's what it was. Manitoba Fearless versus Winnipeg Nomads and we'll get the score up there for you. I want to give a shout out to our Canadian networking feed as well, at Chat Football on their articles as well as Mark Staffieri at Mark Staff 10, and he's done a great job. He does Bleacher Report as well. He's on LFL360.com, and he's been covering exclusive insights into the Western Women's Canadian Football League, and props to him, and a great job on his behalf. WSFLFootball.net. Final scores were the Tiger Cats 34, the Three Rivers Explosion 0. The Hot Tiger Cats aiming for a national championship in the WSFL. The Arkansas Banshees 46, the Nashville Smashers 12. The Atlanta Explosion played the Huntsville Tigers, which the Explosion plays in the IWFL, and they beat the Tigers, obviously, 64-0. So that was a kind of a non-league game for either of the teams. The IWFL Week 4 slate, the Wisconsin Warriors 29-15 against the Madison Blaze, and that was the Battle of Wisconsin, and that was won by the Warriors. Montreal, the defending champs in the IWFL, the World Champs, 3-0 after a 49-0 against the New York Knockouts. So the Blitz setting their sights once again for a back-to-back championship, and it looks like they're on a roll to do that. Chattanooga Locos 34, the Erie Illusion 0, the Washington Prodigy 14. They beat up the Baltimore Nighthawks to 0. They shut them out. The Quakes 38 against Tucson. Notable there is Catherine Vivo, Maria Allison, and obviously Quilcy Holland as well for the Quakes. Houston Energy as well as 2-0 on the season, kind of a surprise there. The Phantoms 2-0. Wisconsin Warriors, like we talked about, they're 3-0 in terms of the IWFL. Carolina Phoenix 3-0. The Keystone Assault, which changed over from one league to the next, and they're on the same role that they were from the previous league. They're at 2-0. The Firebirds 2-0, and you're looking at the Blitz 3-0. So the top five teams right there in the IWFL. So if you want us to give you a shout out in terms of notes, news, and anything to do with sponsorships, like I said, hashtag 2-minute drill. So anything you post for those at the end of your post, let's say on Twitter, for example, that would be a hashtag 2-minute drill. If you want any questions that you want us to add to our show to ask our guests, then we suggest you do a hashtag GB Radio. Hashtag GB Radio. So it was a great, exciting show. I really enjoyed talking to Jeanette Gray, Kevin Shola, obviously a premier sports broadcaster, and he does a lot of things, and he's a busy man as well as we are. So we appreciate his time as well to come onto the show today. And Jeanette Gray, I believe, is going to be one of these hottest receivers in the league this year, and hopefully she will get that nod again for Offensive Player of the Year, and she's well on her way to do that. So hopefully that's the case, and we wish you well. Continued success with her. I know she's going to do an amazing job in terms of, putting out the output of touchdowns, which she's done so far this season. So if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate. Go to @GridironBeauty on Twitter. You can always follow us on Facebook, and on Facebook we cover everything globally. We are basically the best source on the planet for anything women's gridiron, and we are very happy to be networking with an amazing group of people. So without them, it would not be possible. So the best tagline goes to those folks that obviously help us and supply information to us, and we appreciate them completely from the bottom of our hearts. So for Oscar Lopez, this has been Gridiron Beauties Radio. We will see you next week for a new show with new stars, current stars and pioneers in women's gridiron, traditional or non-traditional. And we hope you'll join us at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. And have a great Mother's Day and enjoy your Sunday.